Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey everyone, this week I want to thank another 27 of you who heard this intro and then took the time to switch over to Lyft and use my promo code during the month of July. I really appreciate this a lot. Those 27 people are now enjoying $50 in free ride credit, and they have also helped support this podcast a great deal. So to those of you who haven't signed up for Lyft yet, you're still using Uber, please, please, please do so and punch in the code Backseat Rider, all one word, into the payment tab to support the show. But just so you know, Lyft is not a sponsor of Backseat Rider and doesn't have anything to do with the conversations you will hear in this podcast. Again, the code is Backseat Rider, and it is good for $50 in ride credit for any new users of the Lyft app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Has there ever been an object, a thing, that you have wanted but couldn't afford to have, and it was just this thing that you wanted but could never have? And if so, what is that thing?
I've always wanted one of those, like, automated Barbie cars, you know?
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Where you would get in and, like, it would drive on its own, but it was, like, made for toddlers.
There's always these, like, massive, like, vehicles that you could assemble in, like, a big tank or, like, a fortress or, like, you know, some really cool thing that you see a commercial for and you just have to have it as a kid.
You remember those things you just had to have as a kid? And how about those objects that you might still covet as an adult?
So, I recently discovered this video game that I really want to play.
Oh, there's been plenty of artwork. What is it I would love and I can't have? Well, a Beatrice Wood chalice.
Beatrice Wood was a famous avant-garde ceramicist, by the way. And as long as we're fantasizing about objects that we get, how about this passenger's idea of a universal passport? Passport that gets you into every single country on Earth.
World citizen passport. Why don't we have that, right?
I bring up these fantasy objects because this past week, I had another unusual and pretty sketchy experience out on the roads. And it was one that involved pit stops into bad neighborhoods, cash transactions out of the backseat of my family Subaru, and this black market I never really knew about. So you guys remember Morgan Freeman's character in the movie Shawshank Redemption? He's the prisoner who can smuggle basically anything into the prison.
There must be a con like me in every prison in America. I'm the guy who can get it for you. Cigarettes, a bag of reefer, if that's your thing, a bottle of brandy to celebrate your kid's high school graduation, damn near anything within reason. Yes, sir, I'm a regular Sears and Roebuck.
In the movie, his name is Red, the guy that all the other prisoners go to when they need something. The guy who can get stuff. Well, this week, I drove a real-life Red.
That's a great comparison. That's a great comparison, actually. For real, you hit it right on the head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive Lyft, and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. Now, at some point in life, whether it's as a kid, teenager, or an adult, it's safe to say that we have all coveted a certain object. When I was growing up, about the time I was yearning for this fancy big wheel called the Green Machine, which was a lot faster and a lot more maneuverable than my own big wheel, a lot of the girls in my class wanted that Barbie convertible. It was the one that had a battery and you could actually get in and drive around the block.
Because it was so like an adult's car. But it would be something that I could drive. I knew I wasn't driving a real car.
I shared the car with this woman for a quick ride from Ravenswood to Andersonville on a Sunday night. And then you said you had a second example.
The second example would be, like, top of my Christmas list every year was a dog. I always wanted a dog. I never had a dog.
Why didn't your parents let you get a dog?
I don't know. We never were allowed. We didn't have any pets.
Was someone allergic?
No, I think they thought it would just be, like, a pain in the ass. They like to travel and stuff, and they probably knew it was going to be an expense.
So did you ever get yourself a dog now that you're into adulthood?
I have not yet.
I am 31 years old, and I'm a digital marketer for a tech startup, which sounds like I would be really techie, but I'm not.
Not a techie, which is one of the reasons she hasn't really played video games in a couple of decades. Video games having gotten just a bit more complex since the days of Mario Brothers. But she is ready for that to change after discovering one specific game recently on the internet.
And it's called Unraveled, and, you know, I've never played a video game, or I haven't played a video game since I was like 12 or whatever. So I realized the game is $20, but upon my research, I found out that PlayStations or Xboxes are $300, and I can't afford that, like, to play a $20 game, because I'm not interested in any other games.
Just this one Unraveled?
Yeah.
We shared the car on our way back to her apartment on the north side, and she told me that for some reason, the kid in her, if she could afford the game system, would want to get this one game called Unraveled.
Well, it's this cute little, like, main character, and he's made of yarn. His name is Yarny, and he's red, and he, I guess there's some sort of storyline to it, but basically he starts in a house, and then he leaves the house.
An escape from adult life back into that childlike mindset.
The graphics of video games, when they're like the photorealistic ones, are so pretty.
So I'm a curator of public art for the city.
Oh,
so awesome. Objects are my thing.
And I could see that objects were his thing because of what he was wearing on his hands.
All the rings, what I've been wearing, and the mayor makes fun of.
That clanking sound comes from these massive bronze rings that this guy had on. They were easily the biggest rings I've ever seen. They look like something out of Game of Thrones. And conspicuously big enough that his old boss at the city cultural affairs department, even though this guy's 56 years old, used to ask him to de-ring whenever the big boss, Mayor Emanuel, was close by, like during this one event.
I was there as the baby bird to be fed the instructions. And my commissioner had said, only sort of speak when spoken to, speak briefly, only give the pertinent information, don't wear your rings. Okay, fine. So I did. I did all of that. And then I wasn't expecting to actually be dealing with the mayor at the press conference, so I had my rings on. At the end of which, as we were walking and looking at one thing, Commissioner, it was Michelle Boone at the time, was on the far side of the lawn. And we were talking, and the mayor takes my hand, looks at the rings, and says, "They're big."
He's a sculptor himself, and he likes eye-catching stuff, which is why when I asked him if there's any fantasy object out there in the world that he'd buy if he could afford it, he answered by saying a chalice from the late ceramicist Beatrice Wood.
Oh, I think her joie de vivre, her skill, her unique vision in form, color, finish. She started pottery when she was in her 40s. And that's a whole new amazing career and gives me hope for a late blooming sculpture career. And she just made all sorts of funky items and lusters and just great ceramic art. And she worked until she was 104. When she was 90, there were various times she would give interviews, and one of her interviews, someone said, "So what's your secret for a long life?" And her response is, "Chocolate and young men." And she really meant young men, not younger men. But so she's a great role model to aspire to. I like chocolate and younger men. So so that part we have in common.
What qualifies as younger in your mind, or young? 20s?
Well, 20s, 30s, don't need to go down into the 20s now, but...
Got it. All right, so how much would a chalice from this revered artist?
Oh, she's probably, because she's a woman, she's of course undervalued. So I think in the several thousands, maybe tens of thousands. Not outrageously expensive, but more than my municipal salary can afford.
Clearly, people want what they can't have. It's part of human nature, whether it's a dog, a toy, a video game, or a piece of artwork. And a few days ago, as a Lyft driver who uses the Lyft app like any other driver, I wound up serving as the courier for a young man that is making a career of getting people stuff that they'd otherwise never be able to afford.
Say if, like, you needed any bill.
Bill. You know, you bust some windows, like, type shit.
Yeah, you bust some window, you need some tents for your car.
Mattresses and shit.
Say you need a new gun. Say you need a starter for your car. Say you need some new shoes.
Insurance,
say you
want
to go out of town, bro. Say you want to get fly. You want to take a drive in your car and get a... Okay. Maybe you want a Lamborghini.
Oh, you go out of town?
Yep, he mentioned guns and Lamborghinis. And I was rolling tape when we drove into a sketchy West Side neighborhood for a cash transaction out of the backseat.
You guys good? Moving on? Hold on. Yo!
Say what?
Hey! Is you giving the 50 to her?
Say it again.
Is you giving the 50 to her?
Mm-hmm.
I bet. Cool.
Yeah.
The entire story of that car ride, which was very reminiscent of what happened to me during episode 39. That is coming up, but first I need to pause for a moment to tell you about a couple of the sponsors that are making it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free each week. The first one you might have heard me talk about before, it is TrueCar. And TrueCar is the service that if you're in the market to buy a car, it'll show you what other people paid for the same car that you are looking for. That is arguably the most important piece of information that you can take with you into a dealership. Now, I used TrueCar when I bought my most recent car, which is brand new. But one thing a lot of people don't realize is you can also use TrueCar to buy a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Again, you will see what other people paid for the car you want, so you will know what a fair price is. You can feel confident. The biggest reason, though, to use TrueCar is users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Hey everybody, another TV show to hype, and this one is a docuseries on A&E, and I'm guessing that some of you have probably heard some buzz already about it. It's called Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. Season one, it was a hit, it was nominated for an Emmy, and season two is about to get underway on A&E with 10 all-new episodes. Now, if you're a Backseat Rider fan, you're obviously interested in exploring the human experience, and this show explores the darker side of it. The series delves deep into some shocking accounts of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment that some of the people who have left the Church of Scientology say that they have experienced and have now decided to speak publicly about it. So this season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the church, helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, and revealing truths and seeking justice. So tune in to season two of Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. It starts August 15th on A&E.
I understand you're a man that knows how to get things.
I'm known to locate certain things from time to time.
That's a clip from the movie Shawshank Redemption. It's Tim Robbins asking Morgan Freeman, a.k.a. Red, to smuggle a small rock hammer into Shawshank Prison. Now, that was a job that Red did remarkably well through this network of underground partnerships that he'd cultivated over his years as a prisoner.
You mentioned my name, we'd never do business again. Not for shoelaces or a stick of gum. Now, you got that?
I understand. Thank you, Mr.
Red. Name's Red.
Red.
Turns out I was about to meet a real-life Red, so I'm just going to call this guy Red. He's 21 years old, and I met him right after I'd done a drop-off all the way out in North Aurora, which is about an hour west of Chicago. So I was inching along the inbound Eisenhower Expressway. This was late in the afternoon when a ride request came in from a suburb called Maywood, which is a pretty high-crime area. So I pull up to this modest apartment building. It's a few blocks off the expressway, and two young men hopped in. And that day, I had been asking some riders about their superstitions. And I thought that these guys might have an interesting take on that. So they agreed to let me record.
The only superstition I really got is like splitting poles. I don't do that.
What's splitting what?
Splitting a pole. Like if you walk in the street, like say if there's a group of us and walking down the street.
Yeah.
And like three of us walk on one side, you can't split the pole. Nobody can split the pole.
The pole?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have to all stay on the same side of the pole.
Yeah.
Do you do that too?
Yeah.
And where did that start?
That's bad luck. I don't know.
I've been doing that
surely.
Word to the wise. If you're walking down the sidewalk with a group of people, any poles that you pass, whether it's a streetlight or a sign, better all stay on the same side of that pole. If someone splits the pole...
Go back.
Yeah, go back. Go back around.
Go back around or else you'll have bad luck.
Yeah. What time are you in, dude?
Midway through that answer, Red had a woman on speakerphone. And in case you missed that, she said, how far are you at? Now, at the beginning of the ride, he said we'd be making a stop. It's not unusual at all. But it was right here when I realized that the stop was to do some sort of transaction.
So I'm finna pull up to the address you said.
Okay. Question. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
How am I doing this?
Okay, so how much is he? He got 250, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I gotta give my homie at least 80. I can give you 50. And then for the next one, I'll probably give you like 75.
So I take 50 out of that.
Yeah, because I ain't have none. I had to just get one sent from my home.
I bet.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's cool, though. And then the other ones, we'll just do, like, 50-50 or some shit.
I bet.
All right. But tell them to come outside.
End of the phone call. And having been on a drug run in the same part of town a few months ago, at that point, I was sure the same thing was about to happen. And having learned from that previous experience, which you can hear all about in episode 39, which is called Trey Reloaded, I started taking some initial safety precautions.
Straight?
Is this the block? Hold on, let me look at that.
I don't want to go down any alleys, if that's cool.
Yeah, me neither. That's definitely not my kind of thing either.
So we stay on the main road, but we're still back in a residential neighborhood in East Garfield Park, which is not the best area. At that point, more coordinating with the woman to meet some guy outside a certain address.
All right, but where are you at?
He is in a white shirt in the front.
White shirt in the front?
The guy in the white shirt comes out from behind a two-flat, through a front yard, and then approaches the backseat of my car on the driver's side. That was where Red's 19-year-old friend and business associate was sitting. So here's a clip of the exchange from the point they rolled down the window.
What's up, bro?
What's the word?
Good looking.
Hit the phone.
You guys good? Moving on?
Hold on.
Yo!
Say what?
Hey! Is you giving the 50 to her?
Say it again.
Is you giving the 50 to her?
Mm-hmm.
I bet. Cool.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay, we good?
Yeah.
I kept my eyes straight ahead during that whole time, but I heard what sounded like a large amount of cash being exchanged in the back seat. Obviously, I was relieved to be on our way, and I navigated out of that residential pocket and took us on main roads toward their final destination, which was in the Austin neighborhood, which is really no better in terms of crime stats. I tried to ask them exactly what they were up to just there.
Motherfuckers owe me some bread. You feel me?
It's a pickup type shit.
Yeah.
It's a pickup?
Yeah, them motherfuckers just owed me.
And then what do they owe you for?
You feel me? Just feeding services. You know?
Feeding services?
No, fees and services.
Fees and services.
Fees and services, you know?
Can you tell me what services you're talking about, man?
And
no luck on getting more info right then, but they seem to be in a pretty good mood. We'd, at that point, established somewhat of a rapport, so I decided to keep on pestering.
Can you at least tell me the product?
I don't sell the products. I don't sell anything.
Okay.
Yeah, anything like as far as like selling, I don't sell to nothing.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do nothing like that. I do drugs. I don't sell drugs.
Okay. Okay.
In case you missed that, he said, I do drugs. I don't sell drugs.
So what'd they owe you for then back there?
Because, you know, I'd be, you feel me? I'm basically like a...
What'd you say when somebody got a lot, you be like the key?
Yeah. I'm basically like the key.
Yeah, key.
Yeah, I'm a key.
Like DJ Kaiser?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? If you're the key to what?
Like...
Your problems.
Your problems. anything you may need. I can probably help you.
Wasn't satisfied at all with his I'm the key to your problems analogy. So I asked him for a specific example. And he brought up a woman who lives in downstate Illinois who owed $275 on a cell phone bill. He says that she gave him $160 and then he paid off the full amount. So at that point, I'm thinking he might have some type of interest-bearing loan gig going.
If she's paying you $160, why would you pay $275 and lose $115?
I'm not losing. If anything, I'm gaining.
How?
Because I'm key.
You got to explain to me what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't going to lie. I can't. But there's no... like, you know how, you feel me, plug things in? I'm the socket.
Again, if that was hard to hear, he said he's actually gaining because he's the key. And at the end, he said, you know how you plug things in? I'm the socket.
I wish you could explain it to me better.
I wish, man.
You just can't.
Nah, you feel me? You know, confidentiality is very important.
At that point in the ride, Red and his friend finally noticed the signs that I had put up in the back seat, which explain a little bit more about who I am and what I do. And there are photographs on those signs of me from my television days.
Damn, I have seen you on the news before.
Yeah, buddy.
Damn!
After that moment, the ice was almost melted. For some reason, that realization seemed to set him at ease a little more, rather than the reverse. So Red offered some more specifics beyond metaphors like keys and sockets.
Say if, like, you needed any bill.
You know, you bust some windows, like shit.
Yeah, you bust some window, you need some tents for your car.
Matches or some shit.
Say you need a new gun. Say you need a starter for your car. Say you need some new shoes.
Insurance,
say you
want
to go out of town, bro. Say you want to get fly. You want to take a drive in your car and get a... Oh, maybe you want a Lamborghini.
Or you go out of town to get a room type shit.
You know them new Teslas out, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They drive themselves. So, say you want to do that, or you want a slingshot or something like that. You call me. And I get that for you.
A low, flat fee for access to Lamborghinis and Teslas, tinted windows for your car, even a new gun.
Like, bro, if you need a new sidewalk, I can get you a new sidewalk.
Type shit.
Like, your sidewalk messed up at your crib?
You're like Amazon.com.
Damn near. Nah, for real, they call me Craigslist, though. Anything.
Anything. Yeah.
Like anything. Like I can get you hair.
You can give me what?
Hair. Like you need hair? Hair.
Hair.
Hair. Like hair. Like yeah, hair.
People need hair?
Yeah.
Why?
Weave.
Weave.
Okay. Yeah. Girls? You know how many girls like need hair? You know how many girls it is in the world and then they want hair? A lot. It's very expensive, if I didn't know. Like $500 for about 32 inch. And then they want three packs. Sick.
You might need four of them.
You
got a big head.
Big head.
I never realized that a weave with real hair was that pricey. Depending on head size, can run upwards of $2,000. And I again asked him how he makes all that stuff appear.
That's a whole nother story, but I can tell you what I can do.
Okay.
I can't tell you how I can do it, but I can tell you I can do it if you got the fees.
How much money do you make for yourself?
To be honest, I don't know. I never thought of it like that, to be honest.
What would you guess?
That's a lot, though. I ain't gonna lie, that's a lot. But if, like, I ain't gonna lie, I'll be doing dumb shit. So it's not really, you feel me? I don't know how to save money too well.
Okay.
So if I did want to save money well, bro, I'd probably be on there with you on the news.
For real.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm finna start saving money. I'm finna get a safe. But I make a lot of money, bro. Because just imagine, like, and I got, you feel me? I know how to talk to people, so, but me knowing how to talk to people is very, very easy to attract the crowd. Once I attract the crowd, it's over with.
Once he attracts a crowd, the clients start lining up.
How many clients do you have, would you say?
Too many. Like, 30 phones worth.
30 phones worth?
Yeah.
Like, so 30 people, or?
Like, 30. Different, like 30 different iPhones worth
of full contacts.
Yeah.
And these are people that you help get stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
All right. You know how Morgan Freeman says, "I'm the guy that knows how to get stuff."
Yeah.
You need a stick of chewing gum or a bag of reefer.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who can get that stuff from in the prison. Is that a fair comparison?
Basically.
It's a great movie.
That's a great comparison. That's a great comparison, actually. For real, you hit it right on the head.
We'd arrived to Red's destination, which was this two flat in the Austin neighborhood. And before he got out, he told me that he works so much that he doesn't sleep and that he's got two young children.
I'm just trying to support them, bro. I'm trying to do what I couldn't do when I was a shorty. Which I have fun.
What would you say to someone who says, all right, this guy is working under the table, what he's doing is illegal, it's off the books, he's not paying taxes. How would you respond to that person?
I'd be like, Donald Trump didn't either, though. He's the president. So what's the difference?
That's a good point.
Yeah. They owe a lot of taxes, millions of dollars. So who am I to? What's the difference? So if I'm in trouble, he in trouble too. Period. If that's point blank period.
To be clear, I'm not trying to glorify real life Red by comparing him to this beloved movie character. I'm just trying to personalize a story that really affects my hometown. He denies dealing drugs, but you heard him mention guns. And as I'm sure anyone who even loosely follows the news knows, the flow of illegal guns in this country affects Chicago more than anywhere else, at least statistically speaking. So while he may be able to get real hair for women at a price or arrange sports car rentals off the books, real life Red is part of that gun flow. Now, if anyone has any theories on how real life Red makes all that happen, let us know in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. All you have to do is search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider, request to join, and a moderator will approve you. My working theory, since Red denied being a loan shark, is that he works for someone higher up. And in a situation like where he paid off the remainder of that woman's cell phone bill, maybe she is now in debt to Red's boss in some way. But I'm thinking, though, that 30 cell phones worth of contacts, if that's actually true, there's got to be a lot more people involved than just him and a small group of friends. Now, before I go, I want to leave you with a final thought on this overall topic of wanting things. And it's from a friend of mine. He's a musician. He's about to move to LA. And on one of the days that I was recording this episode, I had to pick up some things from him that he couldn't bring with him out west. So I wound up giving him a ride to rehearsal so that he didn't have to call another Lyft. And we started talking about the experience of coveting things.
A good example is when I was a kid, like every year on our birthday,
Mama would give us $50 and then take us to Toys R Us.
A nice little tradition that he says lasted from about age 5 to age 12.
That's a cool tradition, by the way.
It was cool. You know, we'd go see a movie, we'd go to Toys R Us afterwards, and that was kind of like it. It's just $50 when you're 7 years old felt like $1 million. Like, you could get whatever you wanted at Toys R Us. But the funny thing is like, the allure of the toy would wear off in like a couple weeks after you got it. And, you know, and as life goes on and you get older, that sort of experiential cycle doesn't really change.
The quote-unquote object may change. Maybe into adulthood it becomes wealth or status. But what he's saying is the cycle of wanting does not.
That's sort of the seemingly the epidemic that we're afflicted with as a, you know, modern first world society, is that it's never enough. Like, whatever it is that we covet at the time, we obtain eventually, and then it's on to the next thing.
And when that next thing comes,
you're not happy. You're not. The obtaining isn't the happiness. It's the allure of wanting, always. It's like, it's never enough, though. It's so fucking weird. Pardon my French.
All right, everybody. That is going to do it for me for this week. One last quick reminder to sign up for Lyft using my promo code, which is BackseatRider, all one word. It is good for $50 in ride credit for new users of the Lyft app. It also really helps me keep this podcast alive. Also, once again, please join up with us to talk about this or any other episode of Backseat Rider in our community group on Facebook. All the relevant links are in the show notes for your convenience. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin and produced by me with the help of Louis Kazmarek. Also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday on PodcastOne.com, the all-new Podcast One app, which is available in the App Store and on Google Play. It's got all kinds of new features. And of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I'll see everybody next Wednesday.